There is not a peril in the world that is more consequential than the peril of unbelief. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Listen, if you're facing difficulties in your life today, if you feel all hemmed in with enemies and problems, you need to review God's track record and say the God who has delivered can still deliver. He's proven that he'll come through, and he's proven that the worst of situations is not too difficult for him. I have found in my own life, I tend to struggle with believing that. I tend to limit God. I tend to look at some situations and say, well, that's impossible. God takes offense to that when you put a limit on him, when you say he's not able. So you and I need to constantly review God's record and remember what God has done.
He can heal every scar.
Do you struggle with believing God when he points out a direction that he wants you to take in your life? Throughout the Bible, in so many ways, God tells us over and over again that he will provide. In spite of this, we still waver in our faith, which, in essence, is accusing God of telling a lie. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and the message today has a title that is actually difficult to say out loud. But nevertheless, it's entitled, Calling God a Liar, The Peril of Unbelief. And today, through an unnamed character in the Old Testament, we're going to learn just how perilous life can be when we live as though God is not telling us the truth. Now, this message is from Pastor Jeff's series, Believing God, Expecting Miracles. So open your Bible to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. And let's find out what it means to live a life with genuine faith and how, in fact, miracles will come your way.
Let's look from a story in the Old Testament, a picture in the Old Testament of an unbelieving believer. God doesn't even give him a name. He is the king's royal officer. And he shows us what happens when you live in unbelief. 2 Kings Chapter 7, God's people are being attacked by the Arameans, and all the armies of the enemy are surrounding the city. They've besieged the city. Nobody can get out and nobody can come in, and there's a famine in the land of Israel, and the people are walled up in the city. They're eating dove's dung and donkey heads. And the king tore his clothes. He didn't know what to do. And he said, I am going to kill Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He's God's representative on the earth. And God has allowed all this difficulty to come into our lives. So I'm going to kill Elisha. So he went to Elisha's house. He sent a messenger to Elisha's house. Now, Elisha was tight with God. And now listen to what Elisha says. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The famine is going to be over just like that. And the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, ha, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? No way, Jose. That's what he said. Then Elisha said, behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now, that's a great word. But the servant said, no way, that's not going to happen. And he didn't remember God's track record. What happens when you live your life in unbelief? Three terrible results. Three tragedies. Tragedy number one, you will lose sight of God's track record. You lose sight of what God has done. See, in 2 Kings chapter 6, God had brought about a great deliverance with the Arameans. They came to kill Elisha, and the Lord struck them with blindness, and Elisha led those armies right to the king. But see, when you live in unbelief, you forget all of what God has done. You lose sight of his track record. Tragedy number two, when you live your life in unbelief as an unbelieving believer, you forfeit the power of God's word in your life. Forfeit the power of God's word in your life. Now, God's word is powerful. The scripture makes that clear. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. King James says, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word has power in it. But God's word has no power to those who don't believe it. No power to the disbeliever. The word of the Lord came through Elisha. Hey, this is what God is going to do. But the royal officer didn't believe it. If God should open windows in heaven and pour it out, there's no way that can happen. There's no way the famine can stop like that. There's no way the Arameans are going to go away just like that. No way, Jose, it's not going to happen. Now, they got a great word from God. A great word from God. A word to instill hope, to instill joy, to instill determination. But what did it do for the royal officer? Did it give him hope? Not a bit of hope. Did it give him peace? Not a bit of peace. Did it give him joy? Not a bit of joy. Did it give him resolve? There was no benefit in that word. You know why? Because he refused to believe it. That's why. Listen, God's word makes a difference in your life when you believe it. When you believe it. Look what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. That's a powerful verse. Well, the word didn't profit those who heard it and didn't unite it with faith. You have to do that. You have to believe God's word in order to get something out of God's word, in order to tap into the power of God's word. The word of God has power when you believe it for yourself. Maybe you're here today and you're listening, and you're thinking, boy, it sounds good that the word of God could change my life. It sounds great that God could come in and do something miraculous in my life. But I've been down that road before. And here I am, and I'm addicted to all sorts of drugs and alcohol and sex and destructive behavior. And I'm miserable, and I'm bitter at the way things have turned out for me. And I'm so depressed, and it's so hard to go on, and I'm in such a pit. God can't do anything in my life. My God can't deliver me. God can't change me. God can't forgive me for the things that I've done. He can't forgive me for that abortion. No way. I can't have peace. I can't have joy. I can't have victory. No way, Jose. That's exactly what the royal officer said. Exactly what the royal officer said. And if you believe like that, that God's word won't work in your life, then it won't work in your life. That's just the bottom line. It won't work in your life if you don't believe it will work in your life. The word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You know what that means? That means that God the Father gives promises in his word. And Jesus Christ, God the Son, he says, yes, that promise is for you. Yes, that promise is for you. Think of promises in the scripture like checks. And God writes the check and Jesus signs his name to the check and says, yes, that's for you. But as many as may be the promises of God, in Jesus they're yes, but we have to say amen to that check. You have to cash that check. You have to endorse that check and take that check to heaven's bank. And when God gives a promise and God says yes, then you have to come up behind it and say, yes, amen, I believe that. Amen means truly. It means let it be so. And until you say to the promises of God, let it be so. Lord, I believe your word. I believe what you are saying. It's not going to come true in your life. You're going to miss out. If I write you a check for $10,000, I don't have that much, but if just say I did, and I write you a check for $10,000, if you never take it to the bank and cash it, it was like I never gave it to you. It makes no difference in your life. If you don't believe God's promises will work for you, they won't work. And the royal officer, when he heard the good word of God, the famine is over, the siege is over, he said, no way, impossible. God is not able. It will not happen. Ain't it going to happen? And Elisha says to him, behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. You shall not eat of it. Now, what happens if you live in unbelief? You lose sight of God's track record. You forfeit the power of God's word. And tragedy number three, you miss out on God's abundance. What happened in this story? It's such a great story. Bible says there are four lepers. They're at the gate in Samaria. Israelis. Lepers. And they're talking amongst themselves and they're saying, you know what? Death is all around us. We're as good as dead. We stay in this city, we're going to die because there's nothing to eat. And I've had my fill of dove's dung and donkey's heads and I'm not going to eat somebody's baby. And so we're all going to die. So what should we do? And they say, well, let's go out of the camp and let's go talk to the Arameans, the enemies, and let's see if we can't work out a deal with them. And, you know, they may kill us, but so what? We're going to die anyway. And we could go out there and maybe they're kind to us. Maybe they'll let us live. And so it's worth a shot. It's worth the risk. And so they leave the camp at twilight. They go out there and they don't find any Arameans. There's nobody there. They're just empty tents, empty of people. They're filled with all the stuff. And the scripture says that the Lord caused a sound to come to the Arameans' ear. And it was the sound of chariots and horses. And their hearts filled with fear. And they said, oh no, the king of Israel has contacted Egypt. And he's hired the Hittites to come and to rescue him. And they were so afraid that they just fled. They just ran for their lives. They didn't even take their horses. They didn't take their donkeys. They didn't take any of their gold or silver or clothes or food. They just ran for their lives. Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing. And the Lord just did that. And so those lepers come out and nobody is there in the camp. And so they're just eating and drinking and they're gathering clothes and gold and silver. And they say, man, this is awesome. And then they get convicted. They're saying, we can't keep this all to ourselves. This is a great day. We need to share it. So they go back to Samaria and they talk to the king. And they said, hey, king, the Arameans are gone. Come out and enjoy all the spoils that we found. And the king checked it out and he found out that was true. And man, the people began to rejoice. And look what it says in verse 16. Chapter 7, so the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord, just like God said. Now the king appointed the royal officer, on whose hand he leaned, to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it came about, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. So it happened to him, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. He died. He didn't get to experience any of that. He saw it, didn't get to taste it. You miss out when you live in unbelief. You miss out on God's abundance. Now mark it down. God wants you to experience his abundance. God wants you to abound in blessings. He's a good God. Psalm 35, 27 says this, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servants. God delights to just pour out blessings. He delights to open up the windows of heaven and just pour it out. because he's a good God. Don't you delight as a parent to give good things to your children? Don't you? Doesn't that make you feel good to just blow them away for birthday or for Christmas, something like that? Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask them? God loves to bless. And see, blessings are not always financial. Sometimes we just think, well, you know, if I get blessed, that means that God pours money on me. There are a lot of people in this world that have a lot of money and they're miserable. So it's not just financial. We're not looking for the Lord, you know, be our sugar daddy. It's the good things in life, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness and the faithfulness and the self-control. Those things God wants to pour out. Those things, you can't put a price tag on that. How much do you pay for love? How much would you pay for joy? God says, that stuff's not for sale. I'm going to give it to those who will trust me, who will believe me, who will enter in spiritually to the promised land. God wants good things for you to abound in blessings, but you mark it down. You will not abound if you will not believe. See, be it done to you, Jesus said, according to your faith. And if you don't have any faith, then it's not going to be done to you. You'll see all around you as God is moving. You'll see lives change right next to you, but your life doesn't change. Because you're not putting your faith, you're not taking the word and uniting it by faith. Listen, God is serious about this. He is so serious. If you live in unbelief, if you call him a liar, he says in Hebrews, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And it goes on to say in Hebrews 3, verse 19, and so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Unbelief keeps you from entering into all that God has for you. Doesn't keep you from heaven, keeps you from the promised land in this life. It keeps you from the joy and the peace and all the things that God wants to do in your life. And listen, as much as God loves you and loves me, if you won't believe him, if you won't take him at his word and step out in faith on his word, he'll let you wander in the wilderness until you die. He'll leave you eating dove's dung and donkey heads until you die. He's not going to make you believe him. He offers. He gives the promises. He says, look at my track record. Read my word. Trust me. Now, God is patient with us, and he's loving. But if you won't deal with things in your life and you won't step out in faith and you won't really believe him, then he says, well, what else is there left for you except the wilderness? Except the wilderness.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who will return in a moment with another personal example of his own struggle with unbelief and how God saw him through. You know, no matter what difficulty you face, God wants you to see him as your provider. And this month, to help you do just that, we're offering Pastor Jeff's timely series, Believe and See, and his booklet, The Divine Helper, Understanding the Mystery of the Holy Spirit, as our thanks for your support this month of any amount. These resources will bless your life and build your faith. You can make your gift when you simply call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Our mission is to take these powerful messages that Pastor Jeff preaches and broadcast them on as many outlets and broadcast avenues as possible. We want to reach the world. So thank you for helping support this ministry, joining with us together to allow that to happen. You're making a big, big difference, thanks to our big, big God in whom we believe and see. Now let's conclude this challenging lesson from Pastor Jeff entitled, Calling God a Liar, The Peril of Unbelief.
You know, I struggle, as I told you, with limiting God. And the Lord is working on that in my life. But before I ever came to Texarkana, I was in Houston, the associate pastor, preaching associate, and God put in my heart the desire to reach out through media, through television and radio. But you know, when you're the number two guy at a church, you can't start a TV ministry when the head guy doesn't have one. And so I knew that, well, that's a dream the Lord's put in my heart, but it's not for now. And when the Lord called me here 4 years ago, I was excited because the church had a TV ministry. And the church saw the impact that TV can have. And so we worked on that TV ministry to make it better and better and better. And the Lord put in my heart this desire to not just have a regional broadcast, but have a national broadcast. And I began From His Heart Ministries. And we put it together, and unsolicited, I got a little bit of money, and we signed up with FamilyNet, and we were going to be on FamilyNet. It was going to take pretty much all the money that I had given. And I remember going to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I met a friend of mine there, Carl Townsend. And I asked Carl, I said, Carl, how much money does it take to really do this thing? And he threw out a figure. He said, it'll take this much money. It was like 15 times more than what I had. And I just said, man, I ought to shut this thing down now. There's no way this is going to happen. If God should open the windows of heaven and pour it out, this isn't going to happen. I didn't say those words, but I had that attitude. I said, this isn't going to work. And I was so down and so discouraged. I said, Lord, this isn't going to work. God really convicted me. He really spoke to my heart. He said, don't you learn anything, boy? You remember when you went to seminary and I took care of you? Yes, Lord. Do you remember how I did this for you and that for you? Yes, Lord. You remember in my word all the miracles that I did? Do you remember that I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh, that there's nothing too difficult for me? Yes, Lord. Then do you think this figure that looks to you to be impossible is impossible for me? Are you going to give up on your dream that fast that I put in your heart? I said, God, forgive me. I said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And within 2 weeks, I got an unsolicited check for $100,000. And 2 months after that, I got another check for $100,000. God said, see, I told you that I can do this. And maybe today you just need to pray like I pray. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I believe you can save my marriage. I believe you can pull me out of the pit of my addiction to alcohol and drugs and pornography and all the junk that I'm addicted to. I believe you can change my employer. I believe that you can set me on a path that's good. I believe that you can feed me with the honey from the rock and the finest of the wheat. I believe you, God, and I'm going to trust you.
You know, we really should give God room to surprise us. And if you still have doubts about His willingness to come to your aid, admit that to Him. Be open and honest with God about where you find yourself in your struggle against unbelief. And lay your fears down and have faith in our Creator. Today's message was entitled, Calling God a Liar, The Peril of Unbelief. It's from Pastor Jeff's 6-message series, Believing God, Expecting Miracles. It's available on USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or as an immediate MP3 download. Just ask for the message or series when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Well, time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so much for listening, and we pray that this program has blessed you today. Be sure to be here tomorrow for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, Believing God, Expecting Miracles. We'll see you then for the message, Breaking Satan's Chains. That's on Wednesday, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org.